Up next on Downtown, time to talk a little Red Sox baseball. The team getting ready to officially report pitchers and catchers at least tomorrow. We need some baseball here in the north after a snowy stretch of time here. We're joined by Mark Normandin of OverTheMonster.com. And I don't know about you, Mark, but I need some baseball badly.
Yeah, it's just about that time. Something about the 6 to 8 feet of snow. You know, it kind of makes you just need something a little springy.
Absolutely. And trade talk is always nice, too. And the Cole Hamels situation is getting a little bit interesting of late. He said that he's certainly willing to be traded and would not say no to a Red Sox deal if the right deal can be found. Is that something that the Sox might be able to do?
I mean, the Sox could do it. They have the exact kind of players that the Phillies want. The thing is that the Red Sox don't want to give up those players. And you see a lot of people trying to see who's right in this argument. You know, were the Phillies right to demand what they're demanding? Were the Sox right to say no to it? And it's kind of difficult, I think, for some people to process because they're both right. You know, they both have valid reasons to stay put. And it's probably going to make it so that even though a trade could be worked out, nothing's going to happen until midseason, you know, when someone is in a different spot than they are right now.
One of the guys they've expressed interest in is Blake Swihart. You had a terrific column on a guy that fans will get to know very soon who seemingly is the natural. This guy just does everything well.
It's almost unbelievable. I didn't even know that they had national wrestling tournaments for nine-year-olds. But
he's phenomenal, and whatever he touches turns to gold. So what are they waiting for? Do they believe that he still needs some seasoning, and could he be a guy who comes up at midseason if they're able to convince someone to take Christian Vasquez instead?
He probably needs the year in Pawtucket. I mean, he might come on pretty strong, but you know, he's a guy who usually takes some time to adjust to a level, and then you know you can see him put everything together. I saw him a lot in Portland last year. You could see like the power was there for the first time in his professional career. He's fantastic behind the plate. But he was still kind of learning how pitchers were working him. So it took some time for the walks and the discipline to really show up. But in the second half before he got called up to Pawtucket for the last 20 games of the season or so, he had really put it together. And that's where you see a lot of those. The end of season line he had was very, very impressive. But a lot of it came from about a two-month stretch where things really came together. So you're probably in a similar situation in AAA. Where they just want to leave him alone. You know, they have Vasquez, they have Ryan Hannigan, who can't really hit, but he's a steady hand. You know what you're going to get from him. So there's kind of little reason to rush Swihart unless he hits Pawtucket much harder at the beginning of the year than anyone expects him to.
The picture of Pablo Sandoval in spring training got a lot of play over the course of the last few days. Nobody thought this guy was a supermodel coming in. Is there any cause for concern, or are people just making something of this because there's not a lot else to talk about?
I mean, they knew he was a big guy. His jersey fit at the signing, which is pretty much it's good enough for me, probably good enough for the Red Sox. You know, you get this weird photo of him like arching back, like, yeah, of course his gut's going to show a little more than it should, and everyone wants to make a big deal of stuff like this in mid-February when nothing's really going on. And I think there are a lot of people expecting Sandoval to eventually be bad because he's a big guy, or they already think that he's bad because he's a big guy. There's a lot of people who think that he's a poor defensive third baseman. Like, he's a Gold Glove caliber third baseman, and they just assume he's not good, you know, because he's big. So doesn't take very much for people to get a little riled up about something like that.
We're talking with Mark Normandin over themonster.com. Red Sox do have a bit of a logjam in the outfield, and you guys reported the rumor that the Atlanta Braves have got some interest in Jackie Bradley Jr. How do you see this all playing out? Who's likely not to be in a Red Sox uniform out of that pack of outfielders come opening day?
Well, I still think Bradley ends up in Pawtucket, but you never know what someone's going to offer. I don't think the Red Sox are going to want to sell low on him like they did. You know, they kind of had to with Middlebrooks. They just ran out of room for him, even at AAA. And they maybe, you know, they gave him all that extra time to try and win a job, and it didn't happen. They signed Sandoval. Bradley isn't really in the same situation. He's kind of just had the 1 year that didn't go well. So I think they would like to give him at least one more year in Pawtucket. But, you know, if the Braves come along and offer the right package because they're in a position where they can work with Bradley right now, you know, pretty pretty much anything to get B.J. Upton out of center field in Atlanta. You know, maybe there's a conversation to be had right now. The guy who's probably most likely to go, I still think it's Alan Craig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Victorino might bring a lot back if he shows that he's healthy, but there's still some risks there, and there's little reason to trade him. You know, Rusney Castillo is very impressive, but he hasn't played a full season in a couple years, and a full season in Siri National is only 90 games. So you still don't really know how he's going to react to a 162-game season. You don't know what Betts is going to be like all year. Victorino might not be a 150-game-a-year guy, but he might be the kind who can give you 400, you know, fantastic plate appearances, depending on where you're putting them. So the Sox probably want to keep him around as long as possible, just as, you know, the best fourth outfielder in the game, basically.
So what's the biggest question they have to answer in spring training this year?
Now, I don't know if spring training is the place where they're going to answer the questions they have, which is probably a little frightening.
Mm.
But, you know, unless, you know, maybe if Buchholz isn't right, isn't feeling right, or just doesn't have a feel for any of his pitches, that's the kind of thing you can spot in spring training. Maybe if Justin Masterson doesn't look healthy again. But, you know, the real big question for them is, how is this rotation going to look? And it's going to take some time in season to know the answer to that question.
A lot of reports out there that the Red Sox are at least beginning the process of working on a contract extension for manager John Farrell. Do we know at this point if he's the right guy for this job going forward?
Oh, Farrell's great. You know, the players like him. The front office likes him. He's a guy who has experience as a player, as a coach, as a manager, and a front office. He understands every facet of the game. You know, kind of a great guy to be there to communicate, you know, what the front office wants to the players, to the coaches. So, you know, the Red Sox love the guy, and I think he's a perfect fit for the job. You know, occasional bullpen misstep every now and then is no reason to get rid of someone who excels at pretty much everything else that you're doing.
Well, it all gets underway tomorrow. Pitchers and catchers report, and then we'll get some on-field things to talk about, which is certainly going to be fun after this winter we've been through here in the Northeast. Mark, thanks as always for visiting with us, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Of course, anytime.